Beautiful song and beautiful job on it, but my, what a precious truth. Amen. I appreciate the good special. I want you to open your Bibles this morning, the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter, we're going to read about 8 or 9 verses in that chapter. And I give a little word to the tape room up there. I'm going to attempt to preach on revealing time. And that's kind of another way of saying what is kind of a colloquial thing, kind of a cliche with us, and that is time will tell. You ever hear anybody say that? Time will tell. 2 Peter chapter 2, we'll begin in verse 1 of chapter 2, but I remind you that it starts off with the word but. That means something has happened in the previous verses, something's been said in the previous verses, and now we're changing direction on it, going to the opposite. And that thing that happened was Peter here in chapter 1. He's talked about stirring the people up as long as he's in the body. He's talked about the Lord showing him that he's going to die. In fact, Jesus told Peter before Jesus was crucified pretty much that about his death. And Peter recognized that. But in the last verses of chapter 1, he talks here about the Word of God and how it's a more sure word of prophecy, even more so than what he and the other disciples witnessed on the Mount of Transfiguration. And so he's talking about the holy men of God speaking, and down in verse 21 of the last chapter, chapter 1, says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Now, holy men. But then you cross into chapter 2 and you pick up the word but, and it changes, crosses the street to the opposite. And it says, "But there were false prophets." Now, these were true prophets that gave the word of God, and but now false prophets, the opposite. "False prophets who among the people," also among the people, "even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways." This is a bad crowd he's talking about now. "By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not." Now, he's talking about this bad crowd. There's a judgment coming. It's taking time to get there. But it lingereth not. It is going to come. And their damnation slumbereth not. Then he gives some examples. He says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, delivered them unto chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment." Of course, this is back in the Noah's day. He's referring to that in verse 5, "and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." Another example, "turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that afterwards should live ungodly." I heard a very famous evangelist on TV say about this subject of Sodom and Gomorrah that the sin of Sodom was inhospitality. Boy, if that isn't a joke. God plainly tells you what it was, amen. Then he uses example of Lot, "and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." Folks sometimes ask the question, was Lot saved? Yes, he was. Was he miserable? Yes, he was. His soul was vexed down there among that crowd. Your soul ought to be vexed among that crowd too. Amen. And so what I'm saying here is that God is saying in time the bad crowd's going to be dealt with. Now, Psalms 37 there tells us to fret not against evildoers. Don't be envious of the wicked. And yet sometimes in our nature we forget they're having the best they're ever going to have right now. If you're saved, born again, you're having the worst you're ever going to have right now. Big difference between the two. Now, here in the context, we can see this. Their judgment's going to be revealed in time and on time, by the way. Now, the trouble is you and I judge time a little bit different than God. But then time is important to man. Every now and then you hear the statement that time is money. Well, there's a sense that's true. No doubt about it. Man measures time. I mean, we got a watch on, or we got a clock, or we got a calendar. We're trying to keep up with it because, you know what? We measure it because we really have a limited amount of it. So we tend to measure it. And time is even used of God as it relates to man as you go through the Bible. For instance, you remember in the Old Testament, God set aside especially seven feast days, more than that, but seven big feast days with Israel. And God wanted them not to forget. He wanted them to remember. He wanted to know what those feast days represented. He was teaching them, and yet the feast days themselves meant an appointed time. God was dealing with them in time. Man lives within time. And sometimes we hear the statement again that time will tell. Well, it means that finally will show whether a choice or a decision was a good one or a bad one. It'll be revealed, as it were, by time. And I want to say a few things about that this morning. When I talk about time will tell, and I talk about choices, and I talk about decisions, we look in our country today, and time has revealed some bad decisions, hasn't it? Yeah. I mean, when it's tested by time, it proves out, brother. I'm amazed today how people keep making they say one of the signs of insanity is when you make the same decision that brought you bad results, and yet you expect good results out of them. That's a sign of insanity, I can say. You expect a different result when you do the same thing again that brought the bad. Oh, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. And we see that happening in our country today. Bad decisions. I saw this week where a fellow in New York, you know, your guns are outlawed in New York, and there's a crowd out there would outlaw them everywhere. But I saw this week in the news where a thief broke in a house, and he was armed, and the man of the house was there, and the thief saw him and took a couple of shots at him, but he missed. And the man of the house grabbed his gun and killed him. Amen. Now here's the problem. The gun he grabbed was illegal. He wasn't supposed to own it in New York. That sort of put the police in a dilemma, didn't it? Well, I understand they're not going to bring charges against him, but they're going to take his gun. Now, what's he going to do when the next thief breaks in? By the way, I'll give you my opinion of that. I'd rather be illegally alive than legally dead. Amen? That's just my opinion. Anyway, crazy decisions. Time reveals them to be crazy. I mean, when it's proved out, it's just not good. Now, I want to say some things about that, and I want to just say that time tells on our choice of lifestyle, and we do have a choice in that. Our choice of lifestyle. There's open warfare in America today, basically, over living the Christian life. Do you know folks that don't live it don't like to see you live it? Do you ever notice how it bothers people if you do right when they're doing wrong? It's crazy, isn't it? But if they see you living the scriptural way, which is separated from the world, different from the world, you look different, you talk different, you smell different, bless God, the whole nine yards, but that bothers the crowd that don't want to live the way you're living. And so they don't like that. And we're seeing that from the, you go through the news, you go through society, the culture today, the Christian now. And by the way, too many Christians are compromising, refusing to be different, but we're supposed to be new creatures in Christ. And the old things are supposed to pass away. And we are supposed to be different. Peter said in another place, we're to be peculiar people. Peculiar in the good sense of the word. James said we're not to be friends with the world. If we are, we're enemies with God. And there's always been a struggle with the world resenting anybody that didn't go along with it. Have you ever, you've seen the proverbial drunk? He's walking down the street with a bottle and he wants to put his arm around somebody else and say, hey buddy, have a drink. It tastes so good to me, you must enjoy it. No, the truth is, our lifestyle often gets criticized because it condemns those that don't want to live that way. And the world's always resented that. Now, you go back in the Bible. Go back to the first murder between Abel and Cain. What was it with Cain? He envied Abel. He
He didn't like the way Abel was doing it. I mean, he was envious of him. He didn't like it. God accepted Abel's sacrifice and not Cain's. And Cain didn't like it. Just trace it all the way on up through the Bible. You know what it was? Noah's lifestyle condemned the world around him. I mean, here he was different, and yet the world didn't want to go with that way. So the Bible tells us they mocked Noah. Hey, Christian, don't let a little mocking stop you from living right. Live indifferent. Look indifferent. Sound indifferent. How about the three Hebrew boys over in the book of Daniel? They didn't want to bow down to the world's music, did they? Hey, by the way, the king had a hit record there, didn't he? I don't know whether it was rap music or some other dirty stuff, but it wasn't right, and the Hebrew boys wouldn't bow down to it. And you know what? Just three of them out there in the crowd wouldn't bow. How come they couldn't be overlooked? Oh, no, it condemned the rest of the crowd. And when you take a stand, there's a sense in which your life condemns others. You see it a lot in families, don't you? Sure you do. If you were the first one in your family to get saved and you were telling others about it, you're very fortunate if you didn't get some criticism over that. It generally happens. It generally happens. And if you're on the job, wherever else, I got in the elevator, I guess it was yesterday morning, one of the hospitals. I got in the elevator with another guy, and he got in there, and just the two of us in there, so we both started trying to witness to each other at the same time. Well, praise God, we had a little revival. Both of us already saved. But you know what? I have just got folks mad at me just over saying a good word to them, like, hey, I'm the pastor of Landmark Baptist Church. I'd like to give you an invitation. Boy, offended. Offended. I remember asking a professor at a college within driving distance of here, about 25 miles to be exact. I remember asking him, if he was a Christian. He got so offended. I'm Professor So-and-so. I said, I didn't ask you that. Professors need to get saved like anybody else, amen. School teachers need to get saved like anybody else, man. I mean, the truth of the matter is that to get offended, hey, listen, if you're saved and somebody asks you if you're saved, you ought to say, bless God, thank you for asking. And encourage them so they'll ask somebody else, amen. But you can tell the way somebody acts quickly whether or not they know the Lord Jesus or not, brother. But time will check out our lifestyle. On the flesh side, the world says if it feels good, do it. I mean, grab for all the gusto you can. You only pass this way but once. Well, that's a lie. But that's the attitude. The flesh side of it, if it feels good, I mean the sex, the money, the dope. And when it comes to the business world, it's in reverse. Take the golden rule and reverse it. Instead of doing unto others as you'd have them do unto you, do them before they do you. That's the world's golden rule. You see it happening all the time. But I want to say to you, life is more than a fleshly indulgence. It's a lot more than just, as the kids called it, a blast. I know the story of some teenagers got in a wreck, got killed. And other teens, and I've seen this happen more than one time, come out to the site, see the wreck, see how bad the cars tore up. So, and the younger the person is, the bigger attention the thing gets. But in this particular case, they had a wreck, some teens got killed. Some other kids came out that very night from the same school, in the same classes with those kids that got killed, and they went out there drinking their beer, and they said, we're gonna consecrate this ground to them, and they poured their beer and had a little. Now, I want to tell you, folks, that's the world's stupid philosophy. It's to defy everything God stands for. I'll guarantee you when those kids sobered up and went home and thought deep with their head on the pillow that night, they ought to have regretted going out there and pouring beer and said, oh, we're going to celebrate their lifestyle. They were drunk when they had a wreck. Oh, this is the way they lived. Oh, Frank Sinatra said, I did it my way. Yeah, now God's doing it his way. Big difference, brother. Big difference. But life's more than the fleshly indulgence that the flesh calls for. I know what teens say. Oh, preacher, you trying to restrict my
freedom. I've heard that from these very pews, from there in our Christian school, in our own church, kids of our own church families. Well, the preacher don't want me to have any fun. Oh, no. All I'm telling you is what God thinks about it. And the truth is, we're not restricting your freedom. We are simply saying that what you're doing is not pleasing to God. You're not going to be blessed. You're not going to be happy. It's not going to turn out. It won't stand the test of time. It won't do it. Anytime you're defying God. I mean, we got this deal today. I guess it wasn't too far from here. One of the universities had enough pressure. They turned down the gaze that was wanting to present Corpus Christi portraying a play about Christ, portraying him and the disciples as homosexuals. That was right here in Florida recently. Now understand, up north, another college is going to let them do it. Another university is going to let them do it. Now all that's amazing to me. They want to defy God. This old thing, well, I'll live my way, you live yours. No, I'll live my way, and don't you live that way, you condemn me. I don't want to see you living the Christian lifestyle. I don't want you to be different from me, because that condemns me. It's amazing, amazing. I was talking, I guess it was this week, not long ago, talking with the police chief, and a little bit. We appreciate the fact that they watch after things around here a little bit and keep the speeders from going too fast in front of the church and stuff. Several years back, school morning, you know, we have the cones out there and everything, and asking folks to slow down. And so the police caught somebody for speeding. Now, don't raise your hand if it was you, but caught somebody for speeding by the property. And as soon as the police let them go, they went to the phone and called the church office and said to the secretary, what percentage do y'all get from that fine for speeding out there in front of the church? Mad. Secretary looked at me and said, what'd I say? I said, tell them 10%. She said, preacher, you're mad enough. I said, just be nice. Good thing I didn't answer the phone. Amen. But you have that sort of blame put on anybody that stands up for Christ and lives his lifestyle and does his bidding. It's an amazing thing. But just run the calendar on ahead and see how it turns out. See, it's not the beginning of a thing that's important. It's the ending of a thing that's important. How does it turn out? I tell you what, time will also tell us if we really love God. Now, it's easy to say we do, but do we really? Time will prove it. You know, our day, I hate to say it, too many church members are supposed to be servants, but they're nothing but consumers. Just consume it. Use it up. If you get to the end of the Old Testament, God's really dealt with Israel up and down. If you were to graph the Old Testament all the way through, Israel's up here right with God, Israel's down here, God's judgment's down here, God's blessings here, God's having to judge them again. You find that all the way through the Bible. When you get to the end book, the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, you find God making an accusation against his people that is amazing. He tells them they won't even shut the door in the house of God unless they get paid for it. You know what? Church needs a paid staff for various things. But I hope we don't have a staff member that's here just because of what they're getting paid. I hope we got them because they want to serve God. And in most cases, almost all cases, you'll work for less, humanly speaking, if you serve God, but you ought to be doing it as unto the Lord. Otherwise, there's no reward for it in heaven. But God accuses the people in the book of Malachi not even wanting to shut the door without getting paid. And God says he's going to return and discern between those that know the Lord and those that don't. And what a condemnation to end there with Israel. And then you've got supposedly the silent years, and you start off in the New Testament, and God doesn't send them a prophet or a message hardly through that time. The whole problem is they wound up wrong with God, and time proved it out. Because when the Messiah showed up, they were not even really expecting him. And they rejected him. Time tells whether we really love God or not. You know, there's many ways to serve the Lord through his church. The church is his plan. He didn't start General Motors. He started the church. By the way, Obama can't take over the church.
not the real church. Amen. And this, God left the church here because you need it, and I need it. But it's also a good vehicle to serve God through. Most good things that are done for the Lord, you'll find them under the umbrella of the church. If it's the missions, it'll be under the umbrella of a church. There's some parachurch organizations do a pretty good work, but bless God, I don't have a better idea than Jesus had. And his idea was to start the church and to serve out of his church. So when you say, well, preacher, what am I doing? If you're attending, if you're tithing, if you're praying, if you're witnessing, it'll all come to better under the church. And by the way, if you're not in the church, you won't do none of that anyway. You won't do it. You kid yourself. I didn't serve God better out here on the lake fishing this morning. Oh, who you think you kidding? You can't even fool the fish, much less God. Amen. No. Truth is, there's a lot of ways you can serve in the house of God and through the house of God. And the older I get, the more I've seen time prove things out. The older I get, the more I see time reveal character. I'm talking about good character. It reveals some characters too, but I'm talking about good character. The older I get, the more I appreciate old folks. You say it's because you are one. No, it's a little more than that. The more I appreciate them because time has tested them, and they've proven out. And as I look and see, some of you young folks out there, I wish you the best. I'm glad for what you're doing, but you haven't run the full course yet. You haven't crossed the finish line. You haven't got to the end. Is your testimony good today? Will it be good 10 years from now? 20 years from now? That's important to think about. It sure is. I'm talking about somebody that's already proven themselves. All right, Lord, I said I love you. I love you. Folks know I love you. They can tell I love you because of the way I live. Well, I live for you. Now, we understand we're not living for him to be saved. We're living for him because we are saved. And there's a big difference there. I understand that. But I fear today in the modern church trend today that some of the faithfulness that God's people has portrayed and has been tested by time through the ages is looked down on in the modern so-called emerging church today. And today is who can put on the biggest entertainment program, who can get the latest hot rock band on the platform, who can get the prettiest girls up there wiggling in their tight suits. That's far from what church ever was before. Far from what God used through the ages to preserve the gospel and get it out to reach a lost world. I fear the modern trend today. I fear what they, well, preacher, it's a means to an end. Now think with me just a minute. If I use rock music, so to speak, to get them in, or worldliness, and that's what it is, worldliness to get them in, then you think you're going to entice them with this bait, and then you're going to switch to the real thing? Who you think you kid? Huh? It don't work that way. Never has worked that way. What I do see is preachers let down the bars and do that, and the next thing you know, the preacher's part of it. And the leadership is part of it. Time tells if we really love God. Time tests it. I've lived long enough to see some of it. I remember back in the 60s when the coffee houses got popular. And I remember a few good men thinking, we got to go out there to reach them. We got to sit down, drink coffee with them, and cross our legs on a mat and rap with them. That's right. They tried that in the 60s. I preached it then, I preached it now. God's church is eternal. God's church will give him glory throughout all ages, world without end. This business will come and go, and it won't amount to a thing, and I was right. Check it out with time. That's what happened. That's what happened. Time tests real love, don't it? I've stood down here and led couples in exchanging vows through the years. I've heard them say, I love you. And I believe they do love each other. They think so. But I've seen time prove they really didn't. I've seen it tested by time. Real love can stand the test of time. Fleshly attraction can't.
And it won't. That's why I preach to young people how important it is that you get it right to start with if you want to keep it right. Time will test it out. I guess in the news this week we had Al Gore and Tipper's announcement. Anybody hear that? Yeah, they're going to get a divorce, I understand. I guess while Al was fighting global warming, his house got too cold. I don't know. I'm just guessing. I don't know. Now, truth is, time tests the vows, don't they? They test whether it's real love. You know what Jesus so said about that? Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, that's the if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll keep those vows you made to me if you love me. By the way, real love can stand the test of sickness. It can stand the test and whatever trials come down the road, but brother, time proves it out. I don't know how many, and I'm sad to say this, but I don't know how many couples I've seen where one or the other of them got seriously ill. And before they could hardly get out of a hospital, the partner left them. I could give you names. Some of you recognize some of those names. That real love was never there. It wasn't real. It's one thing to say it. It's something else to mean it. It's something else to act it out and do it. And when it comes to God, if we're going to measure it with an earthly partner or a spouse or a husband or wife, how about with Him? Don't you think God's going to let our love for Him once in a while also go through a test? The Bible says it rains on the just and unjust alike. We'll have our troubles. Am I just a fair weather believer? Am I just one when the sun's shining pretty that can say I love God? Or can I love Him when the dark clouds are coming by and the heartbreak is there and the bank account is empty and the health is gone? Can I still love Him? God says if it's real, you can. And you will. And if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. My commandments are not grievous, He said. Do you know, God doesn't tell us to do anything that's against us. God really is for us. And some of you kids think, well, you're getting my freedom. You're stealing my freedom. I want to do this and I want to do that. No, God is trying to keep you from trouble. Yeah. Trying to keep you from heartbreak. Time tells if we really love God. Time tells on the promises of God also. You know, the big view, Psalms 37, I have been young. There's a promise of God. The psalmist is stating it. I have been young. Now I'm old. That's what time does for you. The first country church I pastored, and somebody disagreed with me, I'd hear them say, that young preacher, he'll learn. Now you know what they're saying, that old preacher, he'll never learn. Can't win on either side sometime. But the truth is, I have been young. And now I'm old. And the psalmist said, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Oh, that's a promise of God. Keep His commandments. Love Him. He's promised to be our social security. He's promised to be the one that supplies all of our need and according to His riches in glory. Yes, and time will tell if the promises of God are true. And we could have testimonies all over this building this morning that would say, yes, even in trouble, even when it hurt and I didn't know the way out, still God was there and His promises were true. Oh, yeah. You know, the difference is this. It does rain on the just and unjust alike. Christians get cancer. Christians go bankrupt. Christians have problems. But there's a difference. In the midst of the problems, like the three Hebrew boys in the furnace of fire, in the midst of it, Jesus is there. That's the difference. Death comes to Christian families. We've had it happen here in the last couple of weeks. Death comes, no doubt about it. But wait a minute. Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, says, sorrow not as others that have no hope. Oh, what a difference. What a difference Jesus makes. Sorrow not as others that have no hope. There's a difference. The trouble will come, but the difference is Jesus can be in the trouble and will be. God's promises, I believe He's made a promise to come again.
Over here in 2 Peter, if we were to go to chapter 3, we'd find out that Peter says there that in the last days scoffers are going to come, walking after their own lust, saying, where's the promise of this coming? You know what we're watching on the news and reading in the newspapers? We're reading about the scoffers that Peter talked about. Where's the promise of his coming? Everything continues. It's amazing to me how they tell us that the creation is billions and billions of years old, and yet they tell us that asteroids and comets have been hitting the earth ever so often and killed off the dinosaurs, if you believe that, and stuff like that. But for billions of years, it's still missing us, but now it's not going to miss any longer. It's not if it will, but when it happens, it's coming. I got news for you. God's been in charge of it the whole time. It's not billions and billions of years. It's just like the Bible says. And I even read this week where the main newspaper in Russia, Pravda, is that the way you say it? The main newspaper was talking about the volcano that's caused all the airplanes to have to stay in and all the disruption of travel. And they said that that volcano plus is one over closer to them, they're worried about erupting, and they're talking about, they actually said in that atheistic newspaper that biblical predictions were coming true. Isn't it amazing how atheism forsakes a fellow when he gets in the foxhole? Yeah, when he gets scared enough, when he gets sick enough. Oh yeah, he'll start talking about God then. Sure will. No, time tells on the promises of God. He's promised to come again, no matter about the scoffers, no matter about what they're saying out there. We live in a great time of deception and all the things that are happening in the world today. But the truth is, Jesus is coming. I've seen too many promises fulfilled. He'll also fulfill that one. And he said, if I go away, I will come again. And he will come again, just like he promised. Yes, he will. You know, however, there's a truth here. That is, that by the time tells, often it's too late. Often it's too late. Your lifestyle you choose, what's it going to be like in 10 years, 20 years? Any of you ever seen a go-go girl in her teens, what she looks like in her 40s? Time tells. Yeah. You ever seen a swinging bachelor? Check him on out 20 years later. Bible has another word for it. Hebrews 13:4, he's called a whoremonger. I didn't write it, I just spoke it. Oh yeah, time tells. Time reveals. There's a whole lot of folks that wish they could go back and unplant the seeds they sowed that they're now reaping for. That time has revealed. Oh, it's true today that sometimes it's too late by the time reveals it. You see, what sin does in latter life, such a terrible thing. Old preachers used to say, and this was a long time, really before TV and certainly before all the communication gadgets we've got today, you used to see on a billboard, don't see it much anymore, but you used to see it on a billboard, there'd be a picture of a beautiful woman up there. And I don't know what they called her, Virginia Slim or something, she'd be smoking a cigarette. Or in some cases, drinking a beer. And preachers used to say, that's what she looks like now. You know, used to have the statement, baby, you've come a long way or something like that. You older folks, I'm talking to older folks, deeper folks, amen, quality folks. Anyway, with all that said, old preachers used to say, you ought to go on down the road 5 miles and put up another sign. Show what she looks like now after 20 or 30 years of that. That would open some eyes. That's what time does. It reveals the truth. It reveals the whole picture. And the lifestyle that you've chosen, it'll be tested by time. You know, when you compare that to what could have been, you see it with the movie stars. Do you ever notice how they die off early? You ever notice how they were a star in a big film and now they're reduced to making some stupid commercial? Do you ever notice things like that?
You ought to look at those things every now and say, uh-huh. Well, compare to what choosing God's side could have been. You take the broken woman or man that should have gotten married rightly, had his own family, his own grandkids, and come down to the end, which one would you want? You want to be found in the skid row, or you want to be found where you got family, wife or husband that loves you? You become grandma or granddad. You got kids that look up to you. Hey, that's the blessing of God. That's choosing right. That's what time reveals. There is a payoff even in this life. Now, I understand the big payoff is in heaven. I understand that. But there's some abundant life now. There's some joys unspeakable now from following God's way, and time reveals that. It will reveal that. You know, when you think of so many people, what could have been? What could have been? Peace over life. Peace with loved ones. No regrets. Man, you can't put a price tag on that. That's the blessings of God. Then I'd say to you today, you say, well, preacher, I've already messed up. You never messed up too much for the blood of Jesus to give you a new start. You didn't have a new start in Him. Alicia was singing about our sins were nailed to the cross. Now, thank God, that's past, present, and future. All of them are nailed there. And you can come to Christ today, and He'll give you a new start. You'll have some scars from the past. You'll have some memories. But bless God, He gives you a new start. And whatever time is left, you can reap for doing right. If you've been reaping for doing wrong, you can reap for doing right. If you're not saved, I'll tell you this. As time runs out on this old world, there'll be a time you'll regret that you didn't give God any of your life, any of your attention. It'll be a sad time. I've seen this, and I've heard other preachers say it. They've said no one on his deathbed ever talks much about the things he's accumulated. Never talks much about his bank account. Never talks much about his big cars or homes or jewelry. But on his deathbed, he talks about relationships. Relationship with loved ones, if he's had a life that produced loved ones. Biggest thing is relationship to the one that loves us the most, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd say amen to that. I've been on many deathbed in my ministry. I've seen the poor man die. I've seen the rich man die. But they all had the same thing on their mind. They were pretty equal then. Very equal then. And I say to you today, before time runs out on you, before time reveals your choices, if you haven't made good choices, now's the time to make them. Come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. If you're saved, you still have choices to make whether you're going to live for Christ or not, serve Him or not. And the crop you're planting will come up. It'll come up in your family. It'll come up in your life. Time will reveal it. Plant good. Make good decisions and good choices now that you'd reap good, that time will not be your enemy. And let me say this. I'm just drop this on you. Young folks, don't feel sorry for us old folks. Every now and then I pick up, well, that's just old man. Yeah. Just remember, I've already run the course. Bless God, are you going to run it that well? Amen. Understand what I'm saying? Not trying to be mean to you. I'm trying to get you to think right. Think right about it. Did you ever think about, I've passed some tests, I don't have to pass no more. Did you ever glad when you were in college, when you finally aced that thing, got it behind you? Well, that's kind of the way I feel sometimes. Bless God, I aced that one. I don't have to see it no more. But some of you guys still face it. And the biggest one is, what have you done with Jesus? Is He your Savior? Are you His servant? Are you keeping His commandments? Are you living for Him? Are you serving Him? That's choices. And time will reveal every one of them, good or bad. Guarantee it will. You'd start off with a real good one this morning. Come give yourself to Jesus. He did nail your sins to the cross. He did die for it. He paid it all. And you receive Him. Get your name written in heaven and then start on a new page. And start sowing good and living for Him. And then you won't have to fear what time's going to reveal down the road. Let's bow our heads. Let's stand quietly. Father, we